In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. These words of Jesus stand in stark contrast to the values of our 21st century American world, which places preserving this physical life above all other goods. We live in the most comfort-seeking culture to ever exist in the history of the world. Billion-dollar industries abound to entertain us, to help us prevent suffering, and to shield us from the truth that all men must eventually die. The biblical idea of losing one's life with gladness, sowing one's life into the ground in order to reap a great harvest, is somewhat incomprehensible to a people taught from infancy to seek pleasure and comfort and to avoid hardship and suffering at all cost. This is why it is more important than ever for our generation and our children to become reacquainted with the sanctoral calendar, to consider and reflect upon the lives and deaths of the great Christian martyrs of old. Today, on what would otherwise be the eighth Sunday after Trinity, we observe the feast day of Saint Lawrence, Deacon of Rome. Like the seven deacons who had been appointed centuries earlier to assist the apostles in the care of the church, Lawrence was one of seven deacons who assisted Pope Sixtus with his duties as the Bishop of Rome. This was long before the cancer of material wealth and power had corrupted the papacy. For two centuries and more, nearly every pope had been martyred for the faith. And so on August 6, 258 AD, Pope Sixtus was seized and beheaded while celebrating the liturgy in the catacombs, along with four of his deacons. This left Lawrence, as one of the three remaining deacons, trusted with the material goods of the church and the distribution of alms to the poor. And when the Roman governor demanded these treasures of Lawrence, he asked for time to gather them all. 3 days later, Lawrence returned to stand before the governor, bringing with him all the poor, blind, and lame to whom he had distributed the treasure as alms. "Behold, in these poor persons, the treasures which I promised to show you, to which I will add pearls and precious stones, those widows and consecrated virgins which are the church's crown." The governor was so angry that he had a great fire prepared with a gridiron beneath it, and Lawrence placed upon it. And it is said, although we don't know if this part actually happened, that after some time over the fire, Lawrence told his executioners, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. In Saint Lawrence, we find a man who hated his life for the sake of Christ and the church. I suppose it's necessary to clarify what Jesus means by hating your life. This doesn't mean to be filled with self-loathing. It's a matter of comparison. He who is willing to give up his life for the sake of Christ and his church will keep it for eternal life. And so I could ask, what is it that you are willing to give up for the sake of the gospel? As we consider the example of Saint Lawrence, This doesn't mean that every one of us should go out seeking martyrdom. Lawrence didn't seek it. It found him. But if we were supposed to seek martyrdom, I do know how to find it. Book a one-way ticket to Iran and stand on a street corner preaching that Jesus is the only true God and Muhammad was a lying messenger of Satan, guaranteed to be in heaven before the end of the day. But God does not call us to go out seeking crosses to bear. He calls us to bear the crosses that he sends. It can be easy to dream about giving up everything for Jesus, but usually he does not ask us for everything. He asks for one specific thing, that one thing that we treasure. You are ready to give up your life for Jesus? Good. But how about giving up sleeping in on Sunday mornings instead of going to church? Oh, well, that's different. Sundays are the only day of the week that I get me time. I remember as a 12-year-old imagining what it would be like if gunmen suddenly burst into the church asking, "Who here is ready to die for Christ?" Up would go my hand, "I am, take me." And then down I would go in a glorious hail of gunfire, and all the young ladies would be so impressed and would tell stories of me after my death. Yes, I'll give up everything for Jesus. But don't ask me to help my brother with his homework. I've got places to go and things to do. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Our cozy 21st century world has enabled us to love our lives in ways previous generations could not even have dreamed of. Now, does this mean that we should feel guilty for enjoying comforts, living in air-conditioned homes with running water and cable TV? No. We can receive such things as blessings from the hand of God, but we must also be wary of the danger that comes with them. Read the history of God's people in the book of Judges. God wanted to bless them with material goods and comforts. And yet every time he did bless them, they turned away from him into idolatry. Such is the human condition that the church always seems to atrophy in times of plenty and yet grows in times of persecution. This is true for the church as a whole, and it is also true for you as an individual. If you have recently endured a time of suffering and trial, it is likely that your faith is now stronger for having come through it. And even in this age of relative peace and plenty, every one of us still lives in a broken and sinful world. Therefore, you too must bear your cross. Not the cross you would choose for yourself, and probably not the cross given to St. Lawrence, but the cross that our Lord in his wisdom has appointed for you. St. Lawrence reminds us that the true treasures of the church are not those things that the world highly esteems, but rather the least of the brethren for which our Lord Jesus was willing to sow his life into the ground in order to reap a bountiful harvest. Jesus says to you, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me." And he also says, "If anyone serves me, him my Father who is in heaven will honor." I have watched many of you, as you serve Christ in this way. Mothers, as you care for your crying child, even though you are sleep deprived and you receive no earthly thanks. Fathers, as you provide for your family and lead them in devotions in your home. And others here, as you have cared for your aging parents or a spouse in ill health. Jesus says that you are serving him. And if anyone serves me, him my Father who is in heaven will honor. As Saint Lawrence honored Christ by caring for the poor of the church, he could never have known that God would honor him by causing his name to be remembered and the day of his death to be observed in the church for the next 1800 years. Just as we don't choose the cross that we will bear, we also do not choose the manner in which God will honor us. I think it rather unlikely that any of us will find our names added to the church calendar, but Jesus will keep his promise nevertheless. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father who is in heaven will honor. In the name of Jesus, amen.